The year was 2036. That's where he apparently came from, John Titor. And when he did, all kinds of things happen. We'll be back in a moment with Oliver Williams, who heads up the website for the time traveler John Titor. The website is johntitor, TITOR.com. And Oliver is next on Coast to Coast AM. Oliver Williams, website editor for the time travel story of John Titor. When what a story it is. He first saw John Titor's internet postings in the fall of 2002. And after reading many of the sites where John was discussed, it amazed Oliver as how much polarization and confrontation John's posts caused. Here he is, full show tonight, Oliver Williams. Hey, Oliver, how are you?
Hey, George, how are you doing?
Long time, my friend.
Yeah, it's been a little while.
Since then, has John shown up yet?
No, I don't think he showed up yet.
Still gone. Lots of new people, Oliver. Tell us a little bit about John Titor.
John Titor was a person who went on the internet back in November of 2000. And what he did was he went on to various websites and forums talking about time travel and science. And he basically went on and said, I'm a time traveler. If anybody has any questions they want to ask me, go ahead. So over a period of about 3 months to March 2001, he answered all sorts of questions from people about the nature of time, how time travel worked. He posted pictures of his time machine. And he made a series of statements, which a lot of people consider predictions, which at the time nobody really paid any attention to. Abruptly, he left in March of 2001, and nobody has heard from him since. And slowly, as time has gone by, many of the things that he said have come to pass, or a lot of people feel that what he said has come to pass.
When he started posting on the Art Bell website at the time, the furor started, and then all of a sudden, this thing just spread all over the internet, didn't it?
Absolutely. I have my own theory about how that happened or why it happened, because I think it's what got me into it. But he said a couple of things right away. In fact, it was one of the first things he said. He was talking about how his time machine worked, and he said that in the fall of 2001, CERN was going to make an announcement that they expected to be able to create mini black holes in their new collider, which will be coming on soon.
Very soon.
And I'll be darned if a few months after March, that's exactly what CERN did. They came out and made that announcement. I think it was that single event which caused it to catch on. Then people started talking about it, going to the Post, looking more closely at what he said, and that's how it started.
Tonight we're going to talk about some of those things that Titor talked about to see if they have come true, and some of them, of course, are in the future as well. What kind of an individual did he appear to be when he was doing his postings, Oliver? Was he approachable?
He seemed friendly enough. He would answer any question that was given to him. I think he was easily kind of annoyed by some of the things he was asked. And I also got the impression after reading that he was a little bit surprised by our society. He harbored some anger and some discontent towards us. But I think overall, on an individual basis, he seemed like a pretty nice guy. But he definitely had his opinions about, you know, our time and how we lived our life.
Now, he was from the year 2036, but when he came back into our time period, the real John Titor, the little boy John Titor, was around, right? In Florida, I guess.
That's correct. He claims to have been with his family while he was online. He was using his father's computer, and he was staying in the home of his parents at the time. And what he claimed he did was he basically walked up to him and said, "Hi, I'm your son from the year 2036. He said he was able to prove to them beyond a shadow of a doubt who he was. And then he stayed with them for that period of time. And while he was with them, the little version of himself that is in our time was with him. And I think at the time he was 3 years old. So today I think he would be 9 or 10. But yeah, he did claim to have met himself as a younger child.
Now, I didn't think you could do that, or at least that's what I heard on the various Hollywood movies we would look at.
Well, you know, in the, how long has it been? 5, 6 years since I've been following this?
Yeah.
Of course, you can't help but read about time travel and time travel theories, and even that is fascinating as it relates to this. But according to John, you don't really go back in your own time. The concept of time travel is really made up of a series of multiple universes. So what John did was he basically traveled to a multiple universe that looked exactly like his, except it was a little bit farther back in time. So he wasn't in his own past. He was basically in the past in another universe, and that's how you can meet yourself.
Oliver, next hour, toward the end of the hour and before the hour we take phone calls, I'm going to play that clip I've got with Larry Haber, the attorney for Teeter's family. It's an incredible interview where his mother is on the phone. She didn't want to go on the air, and so questions are being relayed back and forth to her, and Larry answers it. And I found the attorney, as I found you, to be impeccable, and you all appear to be honest.
Well, I appreciate that. Yeah, I remember listening to that too, and it's actually kind of frustrating because, you know, I'd love to talk to her and I'd love to have an in-depth interview with Larry, but they're both very difficult people to get a hold of.
Yeah, absolutely. Larry did this as a favor to the show. He had apparently heard so much about what we were doing on Teeter, and he said, "All right, I'll talk." Just an amazing situation. Now, let's go back a little bit on the motivation of Teeter. Why did he come back here?
You know, if you had asked me that question 4 years ago, I probably would have had a different answer. But I have,
and I probably did.
One of the things I noticed, you know, every day, well, not every day, but every other day, I'll sit down and I'll do a little Google search. I'll look up black holes. I'll look up time travel. And that's how I kind of relate it to what's going on with Teeter. What I've noticed is if you start looking up things, for example, CERN, if you look up CERN and black holes, John Teeter is in the top 10. If you look up converting methane to hydrogen as a new fuel, John Teeter's in the top 10.
That is incredible.
If you look up the IBM 5100, John Teeter's in the top 10. So I'm beginning to wonder now if he knew that this was going to happen and that he's actually trying to get some information out there to somebody who he knows is going to be exposed to this because of where it is on the Internet. That's what I think is going on now.
Well, that's a good point. He apparently, at least when we talked a long time ago, needed to get some computer parts from one of those 5100 IBMs?
Correct. The reason that John said he was here was that he was a soldier in an Army unit in 2036, and his mission was to go back in time or to another alternate universe in the year 1975 and obtain one of the world's first personal computers. It was manufactured by IBM. It was called the 5100. And, you know, according to him, he completed his mission, and he got it, and he even talked about it while he was here. And one of the interesting things that he said about it was that he claimed that there was a thing that this computer did which was not published by IBM and that nobody knew about it, or very few people, you know, maybe five people knew about it. And it was the ability for this computer to translate from various old IBM languages. So you could basically set this thing on a desktop, connect it up to a mainframe, and you were able to fix it or reprogram it. And he said that the reason IBM kept this information to themselves was because it would have destroyed a huge section of their infrastructure. You know, they wouldn't be able to charge people to go out and do this, so they didn't want them buying this computer so they could do it themselves. Now, at the time, again, nobody paid much attention to that. After he left, a couple of IBM engineers came forward and said, you know what, I don't know who that guy was, but he's absolutely right. And I actually interviewed one of these guys in Rochester, Minnesota. And he said there's probably only 20 people on the planet that knew that. So that is another one of those twists that adds a little more to the story.
Yeah, Teeter was either a genius who's still around somewhere, or this guy had the ability to travel in time, because other than some dates that might be off, we'll talk about that in a moment, he was pretty uncanny. Now, he also could be throwing little curveballs at people. Isn't that true?
Yeah, I've often thought that myself, is that he may be a time traveler, but he also might be a liar. So he may be just giving us enough information to do whatever he wants done, and then he's feeding us some things that aren't true for whatever reason.
He could be a disinformation guy.
Correct.
Now, wouldn't that be interesting that the government sends, when talk about conspiracies, Oliver, they send disinformation people back from time to screw us up even more.
Yeah, I don't even know how you would fight that.
You couldn't. You couldn't. And then he abruptly disappeared.
Correct.
How did he end up leaving? What happened?
He basically said, you know, the window for me to leave is coming up. I think he said a couple of weeks before he left. And he said, I've got to be going back soon, so this is my opportunity to do it. So when I do, I'm saying goodbye. And abruptly on that day, he was gone. And nobody ever heard from him again. So it's assumed that he went back to where he came from.
There is a picture of the time traveler's time travel machine on your website. on Teeter's website, I guess, johnteeter.com. Describe, if you would, describe what it looks like.
Sure. He actually posted a whole series of pictures. Some of them were photographs that he claimed to have taken himself. But the one that he posted, which has got people buzzing all the time, is it's a cutaway that he claims was from the operations manual of the time machine. And it basically looks like a box, a large suitcase, and you can look inside and you can see all the mechanisms of the time machine. And for a long time, people were trying to figure out what this was. It's obviously a picture of some machine. And a lot of people spent a lot of hours trying to track this thing down and figure out what it was. Some people think it was some sort of a radio, you know, an army radio set, or some sort of a biological or nuclear detection system. But nobody has been able to come forward with that picture or a picture like it that would prove beyond the shadow of a doubt that's what it is. So apparently, according to John, that's a picture of his time machine.
Was then, and nobody's been able to duplicate it by looking at it, I guess.
Correct. Nobody's been able to look at it or build it. But if you, it's a pretty detailed, you know, schematic of exactly what he was talking about, how his time machine works.
Was he very elaborate in his postings?
You know, he had limits. You know, he said this a couple of times. He says, I can answer your questions about how the machine works. I can give you the physics. But, you know, I'm not a scientist. So I can't give you absolute details. I guess what he referred to, I remember him saying once, you know, if you were to approach a pilot of an airplane, it's unlikely that they're also aerospace engineers. So he said that he knew a lot about how it worked, but if there were certain details that were too technical, he wasn't able to answer them.
Oliver, when, because, you know, you've never been able to find the family, and we've only talked to Larry Haber, the attorney who knows where the family is. Apparently they moved to Nebraska?
Correct. They lived in Florida for a period of time, and then after John left, they moved to Nebraska. And the only significant thing I can think of there is that Nebraska, according to John in the future, is the new capital of the United States. So I'm guessing there's a connection. Either it's safe there or they're expecting something to be better there, but they moved away from Florida. And this is actually right before the hurricane season, too, if you recall.
Oh, that's a good point.
So right after, right before the hurricanes hit Florida, they were gone.
What did he say about the year 2036?
Again, John describes his future, which is not our future. In other words, he made the point that if he were to get into his time machine here and go forward, it would not look like his future because this is a different universe. It would be similar, but it wouldn't be exactly the same. He described his future basically recovering from Y2K, which did hit his future.
Now, do you think he might have been in a parallel universe?
Oh, absolutely. I think that, you know, based on how he described time travel works, he was from a parallel universe that looked pretty much like ours did, except in his, Y2K happened. As a result, there was a civil war in the United States. It started in 2005 and ended in 2010. And then there was a world war that began in 2011 and ended in 2015. In 2015, this global war involved a nuclear exchange, and the United States, along with Europe, China, Russia, all the other major powers, were all involved. And he said that the U.S. government basically came to an end, as we know it right now. It became much more fragmented, and the United States divided up into five main areas that were composed of the states in that area. He said the flag of the United States changed. Instead of 50 stars, it had 5 stars. Jeez. Instead of a single president, we have 5 presidents, and they are rotated out on an alternate basis. So you always have, he said that the reason they did that was that they could have a consistent foreign policy. Instead of having one guy leave, if you had 2 or 3 guys in there that were the same, then your foreign policy was more consistent.
Were they still voted for?
Yes, absolutely. Okay. He said they were still voted for. In fact, he still described the United States as a representative republic.
Still strong militarily?
Yeah, you know, I would assume if there's an army unit that could send people back in time, yeah, I would probably assume that we probably still had a military.
So even though it broke up into sections, it still stayed strong?
Absolutely.
Okay.
He said that the capital had moved to Nebraska. But then he goes on to say that the states had much more control over daily life than this large central government. So things became much more decentralized. He described the average day in 2036 as being like a day on the farm. You know, you were very close to your family. You didn't live very far away from them. You know, religion became a very personal thing. There was no more organized, huge religion. You relied more on your family and your friends that were with you. In fact, he said a story once, and while he was here, he said that he related what it's like in the future to when the power goes out now. He says, you know, when the power goes out for a couple of hours, people start to leave their homes, and they go out in the road, and they start talking to their neighbors. I don't know if you've ever had that happen before, but I have.
Yeah, that's happened.
And he said, that's exactly what it's like living in 2036, except it's like that all the time. You don't have this disconnection from the people that are around you. You feel that connection all the time because of what happened. Of course, he said the major cities were destroyed in the war. However, the development of technology continued. He said that there was mandatory civil service, either in the Army or in a Peace Corps-like service. He said that people, and this was interesting too, and this is, keep in mind, George, he said this back in 2000, 2001. He said people make and distribute their own videos on the Internet.
That's it. And this was pre-9/11, right?
This is pre-9/11. This is pre-YouTube. He said that the entertainment industry has become much more focused on the Internet, and people make and distribute their own entertainment and video on the Internet.
That's amazing.
He said there were no large, huge stores that distributed, you know, tons and tons of products anymore. In fact, he also told a story when he was here with his parents when he walked into, I think it was a Walmart or something, and he said he, you know, physically became ill when he walked into this huge store and saw all these gallons of milk, you know, all these rows of plastic toys, you know, all these things that he had never seen in the future in one place. He saw in a stroller. He said it completely overwhelmed him. He also said that it's hard to have children in the future, that being able to have children is a very, let's say, I don't use the word special, but he said that because of a lot of problems in the future, that it's very difficult to have kids, and that was something that was much different than it is now.
Did you need approval for kids?
I don't think you need approval so much as that physically, I guess as a result of the war or disease or whatever, that having children was much rarer than it is now. So they were much more revered, and it was much more of an important thing to be able to have kids.
Did he talk about all over the world population?
Yes. According to him, the population of the world was basically cut by a third as a result of war, disease, famine, all these things that happened, you know, during the World War. So, in fact, I remember him saying, I just reviewed this today, as a matter of fact, I think he said there was about 100 million less people in the United States than there are now.
Why do you think people are still enamored with the life of John Teeter?
I think, you know, it's the same experience I had, George, which was when I first read it, I thought it was interesting. I thought it was something that was kind of, you know, neat online. And then you start seeing things that are happening in the news. And you start thinking back to yourself, wait a minute, I remember some guy on the Internet was talking about that. So you go back and you reread it and you go, I'll be darned, that's exactly what's happening. And I'm seeing that happening to a lot of people on the Internet now. You know, I'll put a Google alert for blogs when the name John Teeter pops up. And I'll get about 20 of them a day. And it's exactly the same experience I had, is that they'll read something in the news, even if they'd never heard about it. They heard about it from their friends. And then they'll go back and read it, and it's the same feeling. It's this fascination of, how did that guy know that? You know, and they start trying to put it together. And once you have that feeling, you're hooked.
Why did Teeter come back to our time period? Or maybe he's come back to many.
You know, my idea about that has changed also, and I'll tell you what I think.
And what did you think originally?
Well, you know, at first I wasn't sure. I thought he definitely gave this air that he was trying to change something, but you really didn't know what it was. You know, because you ask yourself, if you were a time traveler and you came here for whatever reason, why would you go on the Internet and start talking about it?
Right.
But back then, you know, the Internet was, I don't know how to put it, safer. You know, you could hide your identity. It was easier to move around. There weren't as many people on there as there are now. My belief is that John went to 1975, and he inadvertently did something that he regretted.
Let's talk about that when we come back. Oliver Williams, our special guest, as we talk about time traveler John Teeter. I'm George Norrie. This is Coast to Coast AM. Up on the coasttocoastam.com website, you'll see a feature story, a preview of the After Dark newsletter. So go take a look. And if you haven't subscribed to the newsletter yet, here's a phone number. It's toll-free, 1-888-727-5505, or you can go online at coasttocoastam.com. Tonight, the time-traveled story of John Teeter. We've got Oliver Williams, webmaster for johnteeter.com. Talk about what happened back in 75. But, Oliver, why did you decide to be the webmaster of this website and put all this together?
You know, basically, George, it happened completely by accident. Once I found out about this from a friend of mine, I had to go to like 6 or 7 different sites to see all of the posts that he had left. He had done this in numerous areas. So what I basically did was I grabbed the posts and I edited them, and then I posted them online myself just as a reference for here are all the posts if you want to look at them in one spot. Now, since then, a lot of other sites have done that too. But I've also tried to put news stories that are happening now on the site so that people can go and relate what he said to what's happening in the news. And I think that's probably the reason why the site has been as popular as it has.
Does it take up much time for you?
You know, it doesn't, but here's the odd phenomenon, which is I'll sit for a while and I won't pay any attention to it for a couple of months because mm-hmm. nothing's happening in the news.
Right, right.
But, you know, and hopefully like we can talk about this later, there are like 6 or 7 things, George, that happened in the last few weeks that just boom, 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 and then I'm right on top of them. I get it. You got to be kidding me. You know, it's like riding a wave. You're up and you're down, and in the last few weeks we've been up again.
Yeah, hugely. All right, 1975, we were talking about that, why he went back to that era.
All right, first of all, everything I'm about to tell you is my own theory. And this is not something John said, but this is what I think might be possible if John is a time traveler. I think, George, we are living on a timeline or a multiple reality, whatever you want to call it, that was altered by a time traveler in 1975. And I'll tell you how I mean.
All right.
He goes back to 1975. He interacts with people at IBM to obtain this computer. And I believe that he did something by accident that he regrets in 1975, either that had to do with his family, had to do with the computer, or had to do with something. Now, the speculation that a lot of people have, and I kind of agree with this, and as ridiculous as this sounds, stay with me. John did something in 1975 which stopped Y2K for us. Now, when you hear that now, you go, oh, that's ridiculous.
Hmm.
But think back to 1999 when everybody was ready. Everybody thought it was going to happen, and it didn't happen.
Right.
In addition to that, John made reference to that a couple of times. In fact, he even said a couple of stories. He said, imagine you could go back to World War II at Pearl Harbor, and you could warn the radar operator that those blips that they're seeing are actually Japanese planes.
Exactly.
Would you say something to them? And, of course, everybody goes, oh, of course I would. I'd want to stop the war. Da, da, da. But then you think about it. If you were to do that, imagine the United States doesn't get into World War II. Imagine that Hitler goes on to dominate Europe, invents the atomic bomb, and then takes over the world because we didn't get involved.
There could be consequences.
I believe that that was the type of weight that might have been on John in 1975. I now believe that John traveled from 1975 to 1998. And when he was there, he was paying attention to what was going on, and he sent 2 faxes to Art Bell, which Art read on the air. In those faxes, he basically describes how his time machine works. He talks about CERN. He also says that there's a skyscraper missing from New York.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, at the time, nobody paid any attention to this. They thought it was ridiculous. But that was the last we heard of John. Then he suddenly shows up in 2000 and starts leaving his posts online. So I think whatever he was doing, he was trying to fix something or trying to correct something that he did in 1975. The only other clue that I have is that if Y2K didn't happen for us, and maybe we don't have a civil war, maybe there's no world war.
Because he did say it would be 2005 for the Civil War, right?
And again, you know, a lot of people look at that and go, you know, he's crazy. That didn't happen, so he's obviously a liar. He said the conflict would start in 2005, but the shooting wouldn't begin until 2008. So, you know, you kind of look at that both ways. Either he was wrong, you know, he's changed it, so it's different. There's lots of outs for that. But my guess is that John thought the war would be good for us because it would lead to the type of society that I just told you about that he came from.
Mm.
So I'm wondering if that wasn't what he was trying to do. In other words, he saw that he did something which in the long run was going to be bad for us, and he was trying to correct that.
Do you think he might come back?
Based on how he described time travel works, I don't think that's possible. In other words, I don't think we're going to see exactly the same John come back and visit us. So, no, I don't think we're ever going to see that John again.
Try to imagine what he's doing right now, Oliver.
Yeah, he's back in 2036, so I don't know. He talked about continuing to do other missions, but he said his specialization was going back to the 70s. And he also said that because of the type of mission that he was on, he was related to the people that he was interacting with.
Did he have a family in 2036?
Yes. He said his father was still alive, I believe. And he didn't. I don't think he talked about his mother much, but he did live with his family. His mother and father were still alive in 2036.
What about time? What about travel, space travel? Did he get into that?
He did. He said that, you know, of course, in his world line, they were more preoccupied with the war and survival, and space travel took a break. But he did say that they were trying to do it again. As a matter of fact, I remember him saying, I think he said something about being able to use this technology to travel in space. But he said that if you used it in space, you would basically be traveling between realities or, you know, multiple universes in space also. So, yes, you could travel to the moon in record time, but you'd have to travel into another universe that looked just like yours, you know, maybe a second or so ahead. So it wouldn't be the same, but in effect, from the perspective of the traveler, they would be traveling great distances.
Let's get into some of the specifics on his elaboration of how time travel works.
Absolutely. All right, John basically said that time, and I'll talk about how he said time travel works, and I can talk about the machine later.
Okay.
He said, imagine the last time you were at the barbershop, and there are two mirrors on each side of you. And you look one way, and you see all these reflections of yourself going in one direction, and you see all these reflections going in the other direction. He said, basically, that's what it's like to travel in time, is that you have the ability to step out of the room that you're in into the next room where you see your reflection next to you. But while that's happening, all of the reflections of you are also stepping into the next room. So if you were to travel 5 minutes back in time, chances are the version of you that's there now is also a time traveler, and they're going to travel 5 minutes into the past. So you wouldn't meet yourself doing that. And the new universe that you're in would look pretty much like the one that you just left. You with me so far?
So far.
Okay. Taking that to the extreme, the machine John had would allow him to travel farther back. He said the limit on his was 60 years, and he said that at that point the machine starts to break away. And what he meant by that was, if you travel more than 60 years at a time, the alternate universe that you're going to starts to look radically different from what you would expect. So if you were to go back, say, 1,000 years, then the Romans may not have fallen. Or if you were to go back 100 years, you know, maybe the England wouldn't have colonized the United States. So it's a 60-year limit where you can make jumps where it looks pretty much like where you left. At a certain point, you're going to meet yourself because you're young. You're not a time traveler yet. So there's a certain point where when you step into that next room, the version of you that's there is doing something different. That's how he described how time travel works. Now, interestingly enough, John was one of the first people I ever heard say that when you travel like that, you can never get back to the exact place that you left. He said that once you start traveling with the machine, as soon as you turn the machine off, you've basically created another universe, and it's different because you're there, even for that split second. So if you were to try to go back to where you started, you couldn't do it. You could get close, but you couldn't get exactly to the point where you left. The reason I find that interesting is because if you think back, do you remember the time you were interviewing Roger, was it Mallet?
Yeah, Eugene Mallet, Malov?
Yeah, he...
Dr. Mallet.
Ronald Mallet.
Ronald Mallet, the physicist who wanted to go back to see his father.
Yes, I remember hearing that interview, and he actually said that. He said, well, the one thing about time travel is that you can never get back to exactly where you started. And I was like, whoa, where have I heard that before?
Yep. Yep.
And if you start going back now to some of these scientists that are taking time travel seriously, that is one of their fundamental things now. I don't remember ever hearing anybody say that until John said it 6 years ago.
No, John Teeter, whoever he might have been, understood physics. And he understood physics in a good way. I'm going to read the first facts that Art got from John Teeter, the one in 1998 that you just made reference to, Oliver, supplied to me by Bad Boy from the NighthawkZone.com. NighthawkZone.com. Here it is. Let me read it to you. It says, "Dear Art, I had the facts when I heard other time travelers calling in from any time past, the year 2500 AD. Please let me explain. Time travel was invented in 2034. Offshoots of certain successful fusion reactor research allowed scientists at CERN to produce the world's first contained singularity engine. The basic design involves rotating singularities inside a magnetic field by altering the speed and the direction. Let me get down to some of the other things. You can alter history in the new universe that you've just created. Most of the time, the changes are subtle. The oldest one was a skyscraper that doesn't exist in New York. Now, this was 1998. That's incredible.
Doesn't that send a chill up your back?
It really does. Interestingly, when you travel in time, you must compensate for the orbit of the Earth. Since the time machine doesn't move, you have to adjust the engine so you remain on the planet when you turn it off. Now, for the future, you might want to know about Y2K. It's a disaster. Many people die on the highways when they freeze to death trying to get to warmer weather. The governor tries to keep power by instituting martial law, but all of it collapses when their efforts to bring the power back up fail. A few years later, communal government systems are developed after the Constitution takes a few twists. China retakes Taiwan. Israel wins the largest battle for its life. Russia is covered in nuclear snow from their collapsed reactors." All right. I wanted to read you something as I received it, and that's from the time traveler, according to Art. Now, that's uncanny, Oliver.
And it sounds very much like our John also in 2000.
Yes.
So, but if you notice, it seems a little harsher. It seems a little more desperate. It's not exactly the same John, but it sounds, you know, the elements of what he said in 2000 are the same. So I kind of find that fascinating, too, that... You know, was that a different John? Was that a John that went forward and came back and told us what was going on? You know, those are some of the issues that are kind of interesting to think about.
Did John say anything about our time period? I mean, did he say he was enlightened by it? He enjoyed it? Did he have fun in it?
You know, I think John was absolutely overwhelmed being in our society. I think he was disappointed that we were addicted to machines and things. I think he saw us as wasting our opportunity to read, travel, and educate ourselves. I also think that he partially blamed us for a lot of the misery that occurred in his future. And at one point, he even calls us lazy, self-centered, ignorant sheep. And he was constantly telling us to wake up, that look around you, that you know things are not what they seem. The other thing, he also expressed an incredible amount of concern for the fact that we were letting our Constitution be taken away from us. He was constantly talking about how he was afraid to eat. He didn't know it was in our air and in our water. And again, he said that he felt that war for us would be good. He thought that based on everything he'd seen and experienced, that we needed a good shaking up, and that's what we deserved.
A remarkable story, Oliver. Now, you mentioned six or seven things that have occurred almost in succession here. Bang, 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 bang. Let's talk about that.
All right. I went through, and I've got a top 10 list here of the things that I think, you know, really hit home. And then I've got another list here, the last four things that have happened in the last month. I'll start with the ones that have happened since he started posting. It's important to remember, and you brought this up too, George, that what he did was before 9/11. It was before the war on terror. It was before the space shuttle accidents. What he was talking about happened way before that. The very first thing he said, which got everybody's attention, was that CERN was going to announce they expected to be able to create mini black holes in their collider. And that was in the fall of 2001. Next, he told us about the IBM 5100. That was later confirmed by IBM engineers. He makes a reference to skyscraper that's missing in New York. He told us our Constitution would be eroded away from us in the future. He said there would be no weapons of mass destruction found in Iraq before 9/11, before we would even go to war with Iraq. He said China would be the next country to put a man in space. He said multiple times we were going to have trouble with our space shuttle. He said mad cow disease would be discovered in the U.S., it would get worse, and it would be a major problem in the future. He said Stephen Hawking was going to change his opinion about some of his physics on black holes.
And he did.
He did. He said virus cells were going to be used to fight cancer. And he also made reference to a female president in the year 2009.
That's amazing, all that. So John Teeter is predicting Hillary Clinton, I take it.
Yeah, he didn't exactly say she was going to win. My take on what he said was that she's definitely in the mix.
Well, I got to tell you, as we look at this pendulum here between Obama and Clinton, it's absolutely incredible. I mean, the momentum is now swinging back in her favor. This is truly incredible, the way this is going.
George, don't you think that whole situation is nothing but a powder keg?
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know where to go with that, except to say that I don't see how that's going to end peacefully.
Meanwhile, McCain just keeps creeping along, and he's ahead now. If he had to run against either candidate, he'd beat them,
yep,
according to the latest polls. So did Teeter talk about extraterrestrial visitation or anything like that?
He made one remark about it. He said, somebody asked him about UFOs. And he said, I don't know exactly what they are. My guess is that they are other time travelers like myself with more sophisticated time travel machines. That's what he thought they were.
Let's talk a little bit more then about the machine itself.
Sure.
And how big was it?
All right. The machine, he talked about different versions of the machine. He said that he had, it's called the C206, and it was built by General Electric. He also made reference to another machine called the C. I'm sorry, his was the C204, but he made reference to another one called the C206. He basically said it's a box about the size of a large suitcase, and it's very heavy, and it basically operates by using two mini black holes, which are electrified and rotated to create a gravitational field around the box and around the user. And when you manipulate this field, it allows you to travel between these dimensions. He says that it had a system of ejecting electrons onto the black hole, which either increased the spin or the mass slightly or did something that allowed you to control them. He said there were a series of cesium clocks that checked the timing on the black holes, and that's what they used to navigate by the second, going backwards and forwards in time. He also said there was a system called VGL, which stood for variable gravity lock. And he said what this system did was it basically sampled the gravity before you used the machine, and then it sort of kept you in that position while you were traveling in time. And this is how you avoid flying off the Earth while you're using the machine. So it purposely keeps you attached to whatever large gravitational mass you're next to when you're using the machine.
All right. Well, we're going to be back in just a moment, Oliver. We'll talk a little bit more about the machine. Oliver Williams, webmaster for johnteeter.com. And I'll tell you what we'll do next hour. I'm going to open up one phone line in the event John Teeter is out there somewhere. John, I want you to check in with us. Oliver, your role will be, as we continue our discussion, is to ascertain whether that's John Teeter or not, or a fraud. That phone number for you, John Teeter, is 818-817-0021. Please, just John Teeter, call 818-817-0021.